So now's the part where I talk a little bit and we share some water. I broke it into three sections, so we're going to have to learn how to divide into thirds. So I'm thinking we're going to do one section sort of here, one section sort of there, and one section there when we come up to share our water. So the first question we always have is, what is water? At one time, it was thought to be one of the four elements of which the whole world was made. There was earth, there was air, there was fire and water, and those of you who went to school during that time, you had life so easy compared to chemistry later on. But it's not an element these days. So does anyone happen to know what an element is? Anybody remember from their schooling long ago, what is an element? If water's not an element, what is an element? So I brought my Legos because Lego tells me all the time what an element it is. An element is the smallest thing that you can't take apart. So if I take these things apart, I get down to this. This is a 2x2 red piece. That is an element. It can't be broken down without me actually destroying it in some way, taking it apart at a really low level that I don't want to do. So that's what an element is. Now, when I was going to school, there were 109 of them. So water got thrown out, earth, air, and fire also got thrown out. But we found 109 other things that we call elements. And today, as of at least 2016, there are 118 of them. So those of you going on to chemistry, there's more to learn. So the periodic table, by the way, is also 150 years old. And it's still going strong, but water's never going to be an element on it. So can anybody tell me what element is water made of? Hydrogen and? Oxygen. Yeah, two really common things in the universe. So again, my Lego kit came with hydrogen. Hydrogen's yellow in this case. I don't know why. It's just the way I imagined it for a moment. And oxygen sitting here is a red piece. And hydrogen and oxygen by themselves are floating around, just hanging out all over the place. We're breathing oxygen all the time. We're happy to have it. But when hydrogen and oxygen come together, they really like to hang out together. And so they form into some kind of shape. It might look like this. Who knows? And it becomes water. And by golly, there's a lot of it that becomes water. So now, an element is a substance that can't be broken into smaller things. And things, when elements join together, they form things like water. And we call those things compounds. And so we all know about our good old H2O. So two hydrogens and an oxygen. And if you remember your chemistry, for those of you who took it, what holds the water together? So two hydrogens and an oxygen hanging out together, what keeps them together? I had to look this up. I couldn't remember. Bonds, covalent bonds. Wow, excellent. 1 point to this section here. Yes, there's ionic bonds and covalent bonds. You're like, oh my God, it's coming back. So this explains when you take a glass of water and you throw it in the air and it falls to the ground, unlike the Lego, you don't get hydrogen and oxygen again. You get a puddle of water. The water likes hanging together so much, it's not just going to fall back apart into its component parts. So they like to stick together. They like to stick together a lot. And so a glass of water is a wonderful thing. So the water all hangs out together, the hydrogen and the oxygen stick together, but what makes water molecules hang out with each other? So you got a glass of water, and you can do what with it? You can pour it. So what does it do? It forms droplets. It forms a stream. Why does it do that? Anybody remember the term we made up to describe that? There's surface tension. And it's also called cohesion. Like things like to hang around with like things. So water likes to hang around with other water. So two waters get together, and they're going to hang out together. They're going to get close. If you try and break your water up, so you pour your water out into a puddle and you smash it with a hammer or your fist, you splash it, you can also coax it back together, and it'll join back together through cohesion. So there you go. That's a memory of your chemistry time. And for those of you who haven't taken chemistry right now, you can write those notes down and save them for later. Amaze your teachers. So what else does water do? So water likes to live, it likes to hang out together, but it also likes to hang out with other things. So if any of you were to go outside and you walk down to the Bark River and you get your glass and you scoop a glass of water up and you raise it as a toast and the sunlight falls through it, what do you see in the water? Stuff. There's all sorts of stuff in the water. The water's got lots of stuff in it. Are you going to drink that water? Probably not. Now, if you were my dog, you would drink that water. Like, hey, water, this is excellent. But that water has a lot of things in it. It has soil. It has bits of metals in it that are from the ground. It has runoff from any of the fields and all the stuff around us. There are tiny organisms in that water, which we call bacteria. There are algae, on up to bigger things like mollusks. So you got your snails, you got your clams. There's frogs and turtles and fish. Some things are carried by the water, even though they don't dissolve in the water, and some things dissolve in the water. So have any of you ever had a sibling that has taken, you get a nice glass of ice water, but you suddenly have to go do something before you can drink it. And your sibling, while you're away, comes up and pours salt into your water and stirs it really nicely. And guess what? When you look at that water, can you tell that it's salt water? No. If they had mixed sugar in it, could you tell it was sugar water? No. Some things dissolve entirely in the water. You can't see them at all. But when you go and take a nice big gulp of that water, is it what you wanted? Is it the refreshing thing you thought it was going to be? Nah. So we put a lot of different things in water. We do it on purpose. It happens by accident as well. So some things are carried by the water. They dissolve in it. There are tiny bits of minerals. For instance, how do you think this gets built? Any of you ever build one of these? Amazing little creatures that live all over the place build these. And where do they get the material to do this? It's in the water. It's there. It's your calcium carbonates and other types of materials often dissolved in the water, and they've got special parts that take them and say, I can make a house out of that. So now, I was hoping when I was like 40 or 50 years old, I would have a house this nice, but hasn't quite worked out the same way, but we get there. So water on Earth exists at many different places. And in most of the time, it's a liquid. But it also can be frozen and become ice, or it can be boiled and become steam. And because water is so important to all living things on our planet, when scientists have looked out into outer space and started looking at stars and trying to find other planets that they think might have living creatures on them or that we might be able to go to and live on ourselves, they look at what is called the Goldilocks zone. Does anybody remember what the Goldilocks zone is?
Just right.
So the story of Goldilocks, Goldilocks breaks into these bears' houses. Not a good person in many ways, Goldilocks. But they have some food sitting out. There's a big bowl, and one is too hot, and one is too cold, and one is just right. And there's three chairs, and one is too comfortable or too soft, and one is too hard, and one is just right. And so when we look for planets, we look for planets that are just right. And to us, just right means that water can be a liquid on the planet. So whatever that planet's star is, the planet has to be far enough away that the water's not always boiling, and not so far away that it's always ice. We want it to be a nice liquid. So it's going to be an interesting problem as we look out for the just right place. Fortunately, the planet we live on seems to be just right. So how about some facts and figures? I think most of you have spent your lives around water, so you probably know all these. So how much water is there on Earth? A lot. Yeah. Is there more water than other stuff? No. No, there isn't. So it seems like there's a lot of water because water covers 71% of the surface of the planet. Two-thirds of our planet is water, and since we can't really live in water, at least not for long periods of time without our toes getting all kind of pruney, then we have to live on the land. So two-thirds of our planet is covered by water, but only 0.05% of the total mass of the planet is water. 0.05%. That's not that much in the overall course of a planet, but it's still quite a bit. So of the total water on the planet, here's some numbers. 321 million cubic miles of water in oceans, seas, and bays. 321 million cubic miles. What's the problem with that water? It's salt water. Can't drink it without doing something with it. Won't make you healthy. There are 6 million cubic miles of water in ice caps, glaciers, and permanent snow. Or perhaps I should say there were at one point. We're not sure how long those will last. And most of that water, when it melts, goes right into the salt water. So it'll raise our water levels, but it won't give us more drinkable water. There are approximately 6 million cubic miles of water called groundwater. So that's water sitting underneath of us in aquifers and sand, in open spaces under the ground. It hangs out there. It runs towards the rivers and into our lakes. There are 4,000 cubic miles of water at any point in time that is soil moisture. So anytime you're watering your garden, a lot of that water is running down into the aquifer and off into other things, but some of it sits there for a while to help the plants. There are 42,000 cubic miles of water as lakes. There are 3,000 cubic miles of water in the atmosphere. So water makes the sky heavy, is what I always say. It's a lot of water up there. There are 3,000 cubic miles of water in swamps. There are 509 cubic miles of water in rivers and 269 cubic miles of water in biological things, people, plants, birds, insects, us. So we've got a lot of water. Some other numbers. About 4 cubic miles of precipitation are received each day over the lower 48 states. About 280 cubic miles of water evaporate into the air or transpire into the atmosphere each day. How much of you is water? Any guesses? 60 to 80%, it's in that range. Again, people calculate it slightly differently. So the sites I said is that an adult is somewhere between 55 to 60% water. Younger people are higher in water, so they've got more water in them. They start looking at our different parts. So your brain and your heart are about 73% water. So when somebody tells you to use your brain, 73% of that is water in your brain doing something along with the rest of this stuff going on up there. Your lungs are about 83% water. Your skin, 64%. Muscles and kidneys, about 79%. And even bones are about 31% water. So is Earth the only planet with water? No. Nope. Anybody know another planet with water? Mars. That's right. So there's been a long argument about whether Mars had water. People have pictured it as a dying planet where it lost a lot of its water. Or its water, they look up and they saw canals and people trying to do things. They imagine things about it. But the water on Mars, for the most part, is frozen. It's underground. There are about, at this point, an estimate of 5 million cubic miles of it. So how many of you know where your drinking water comes from? Barbara, where does your drinking water come from?
500-foot well. A 500-foot
well. That is a deep well. That is a very deep well. So the water in Heartland, I got my annual report. So depending on what town you live in, you will receive a report. Village of Heartland Water Works 2018 Consumer Confidence Report. When you move to wherever you live, did you read your water report? Some people do. It's very important. There's a lot of things that end up in water. What's one of the things that ends up in water in Wisconsin in particular that we don't like? All sorts of stuff. Nitrates? because we're farming community, so there's a lot of those. Radium is an interesting one that not every state has. So read your water report and see what we're measuring and what we know about your water, and it will tell you, among other things, where your water comes from. So the water in Heartland comes from 5 municipal wells, and they're pulling groundwater from 82 to 135 feet underground. And we, in just Heartland, use over 347 million gallons of water in 2018. So water is a precious resource. We cannot live without it, but we have not always been good caretakers of it. We share this planet with each other and with all living things, and the sharing of our water is a reminder that we are all part of it. At this point, I invite the people in this section to my right to come forward. So please come forward and bring some water. If you would, go up and around to come down through the middle aisle. We have some microphones. I'm going to set up and start out our pitcher with our water from past years. And bring your paper as well, which you can pin on the board. And I'm going to start first with the water from many years ago. I believe this water, it was around before I came here, so there's water that I've brought and other of you have brought. If this water were a child, it would be finishing up middle school or going into high school, at least at this case, at this time. So we're going to add that water into the center. And I invite you to come up and around. If you did not bring water, there's 2 bowls of water on the side. You can symbolically add some of that water and tell us where it's from or what it means to you. And I'm going to do one more piece, which is I'm going to add my water. So this water comes from my basement, a place I don't want it to be. It comes from my dehumidifier. I call it wild water. I don't know if the water is telling me, Paul, you should have an indoor swimming pool right here in your basement. Or if it's just nature is going to be wherever it wants to be, it's important that we have water. So I take this out of the dehumidifier, and I pour it on my plants, and it comes back into the basement, and I pour it on my plants. And that will be our ongoing cycle. So please come forward and share your water.
I'd like to share. I brought my water from home, which is actually, if you read these here, it says home is where my fish are. So that's where this is coming from, one of my fish tanks.
This is symbolic water of one of our trips and one of my first trips to Colorado that we took together from one of the streams at Rocky Mountain National Park.
Also from Colorado, Grand Lake, and the Atlantic Ocean that Zachary flew over on his way to Germany this summer.
And this is symbolic ocean water for all the oceans and seas that scuba divers find.
This is actually from my well.
This is water from one of the ponds in my gardens where I spend most of my time this summer, and there's a little duckweed in our water now.
This is symbolic water from the Kickapoo River, which means one who goes here and there, which I had the pleasure of canoeing.
Well, this is actually water from our church well. And I'm using this. It's important that this summer we had a potluck gathering of people from other congregations and social justice organizations in the area, and some were from Madison. And they commented how terrible their water tasted and how good ours is. So we should really appreciate it.
This is fresh water. That it's ironic that all the people that were in this hurricane, there were many people rescued that were suffering from dehydration. And yet they were surrounded by ocean water, which they could not drink. So I'm going to rescue them with some fresh water.
Thank you.
So we've talked about water as an object. Water is a thing. How much of it? Where is it? What does it do? But now let's just think about water as action. What does water do? And what do we do with water? Well, as you've heard from a lot of people already, we drink it. And think of all the things we mix it with. We drink it plain or with things added to flavor it. It is the delivery system of choice for tea and coffee, cocoa, soda, sugars, beers, wines, spirits, milks. We drink it with vitamins. We call it smart water or sport water or tonic or seltzer or spring water. We make containers of all kinds to hold it. Cups, glasses, bottles, cans, canteens, thermoses, pitchers, vases, basins, pots, cauldrons, sinks, and tubs. I have never had a container made after, you know, to honor me. We make a lot of things for our water. We bathe in water, showers and baths, steam rooms, sweat lodges. We launder our clothes in water, adding soaps and cleaning agents. We wash our dishes in it. We mop our floors, steam our carpets and curtains, wash our cars and pets and decks and siding. We create power using water. We build hydroelectric dams, nuclear reactors, have steam trains and ships. We use water for recreation, for sports, swimming, diving, boating, fishing, surfing, water skiing, water parks, floating on lazy rivers. We use water for transportation, canals, barges, ocean liners carrying shipping containers. We use it for sanitation, plumbing, toilets, sewage, water treatment plants. We wash our hands in it. We brush our teeth with it. Water evaporates up into the sky, becomes clouds, becomes rain. It falls down. The water sifts through the soil into the ground, carrying minerals, carrying chemicals as well. It joins in streams and rivers and ponds, marshes, lakes. It travels downward by gravity, always seeking sea level. The water rises and falls in the air with different temperatures. We call it rain or snow, fog, dew, condensation, sleet, drizzle, hail. The water builds cathedrals underground and caverns, building stalactites and stalagmites for minerals it has dissolved and then released again. Really, we release water from our bodies with every breath. We sweat water to keep ourselves cool. We gather around water, the watering hole. Our towns and cities are often built around water. San Francisco, St. Louis, Chicago, New York, Boston, Milwaukee. We create ceremonies using water, whether it's a tea ceremony, a baptism, stories of healing waters, or sharing of water as we're doing. We must cross water, and so we build bridges that span amazing distances, connecting land to land despite the water. We use water for our industries, for farming, logging, papermaking, electronics, automotives. It is in our paints and glues and chemical solutions of all kind. Water extinguishes fire. At this time, I invite the people in the middle section to come forward, and please again come down through the center aisle and share your water and add it to our water from past water communions.
I'm thankful for the water from my house that I get to share with my extended family this year.
This is representative of the scariest water crossing I've ever done in Wyoming and while backpacking in the Cloud Peak Wilderness. Powerful water.
This water is representative of the Roaring Fork River in Colorado, where I took my daughters to look for stoneflies.
This water represents the water that broke that allowed my grandson to be born recently.
This water is from Horse Thief Basin up on top of a mountain in Crown King, Arizona.
This water signifies tears of joy, tears of sorrow, and tears that keep our eyes moist.
This water represents Lindbrook Reservoir in Leicester, Massachusetts, where in my youth I gained an appreciation for nature and things wild.
This water is tap water from Heartland because I was too lazy to go across the street and get it out of the brook for fear of falling in.
This water is from the Aegean off the coast of Turkey when I was swimming over Greco-Roman ruins.
This water is Atlantic Ocean water, where, again, as a youth, I could be there and be connected. And this water is in the air, and it'll stay there while we're camping next weekend.
This water is from my newly installed babbling brook in my backyard, which is giving me enormous pleasure. Thank you.
This water for me is representing just flow and joy and health.
This is symbolic water from Hawaii, where I began life 70 years ago.
This water is from a waterfall formed by melting snow high in the Cloud Peak Wilderness, Bighorn Mountain.
This water is from the Heartland Marsh in the backyard of our new home.
This water is symbolic of the water I've helped clean up over my career.
This is symbolic water from a friend's sauna.
This water is represents water from the Timber Cooley Creek that was washed out in June.
This is just a very small portion of the water that Claire and I swallowed when I took my sailboat over on us this summer.
It's amazing all the places that the water comes from and gathers here. So let's think about water as metaphor. This is a water communion. Water is democracy, billions of drops of rain, all equal, all committed to falling and becoming a puddle, a rivulet, or a flood. Water is life, birth, rebirth, fertility, refreshment. Water is purification, baptism, cleansing. Water dissolves it. Water removes it. Water is the mirror, tranquility. Water is clarity. Water is memory. Water is communion. We are joined in water. Have you ever gotten in hot water? Water is trouble. Water is change, ripples on the water. Water is grief, a sea of tears, the crying sky. Water is repentance. Water yearns for sky. Under the pull of the moon, it rises. The tide turns. Water is power. It heats up, boils, it expands. It wears down the mountains. The sea is ceaseless. Here are five poems about water. This is Water by Wendell Berry. I was born in a drought year, the summer my mother waited in the house, enclosed in the sun and the dry, ceaseless wind, for the men to come back in the evenings bringing water from a distant spring. Veins of leaves ran dry, roots shrank. All my life I have dreaded the return of that year, sure that it still is somewhere like a dead enemy's soul. Fear of dust in my mouth is always with me, and I am the faithful husband of the rain. I love the water of wells and springs and the taste of roofs in the water of cisterns. I am a dry man whose thirst is praise of clouds and whose mind is something of a cup. My sweetness is to wake in the night after days of dry heat, hearing the rain. Or this one by Philip Larkin, also called Water. If I were called in to construct a religion, I should make use of water. Going to church would entail affording to dry different clothes. My liturgy would employ images of sousing, a furious, devout drench. And I should raise in the east a glass of water where any angled light would congregate ceaselessly. And this poem by Mary Oliver called At Blackwater Pond. At Blackwater Pond, the tossed waters have settled after a night of rain. I dip my cupped hands. I drink a long time. It tastes like stone, leaves, fire. It falls cold into my body, waking the bones. I hear them deep inside me whispering, oh, what is that beautiful thing that just happened? I invite our final group of people to come forward on our section and bring your water.